Today is December 20th, 2020, the fourth Sunday of Advent, also known as Christmas Sunday. As the coronavirus continues to be active in our communities, we do not worship together in person at the church, but offer this recorded service, and I welcome you to this time of worship. Let us rejoice in God, our Savior, who has done great things for us, who fills the hungry with good things. Let us open ourselves to the spirit of life and new birth. Let us worship God. Please pray with me. We sing, O come, all ye faithful, God, but we confess that we are not always faithful. We could have shown love this past week, but we kept ourselves busy with other things. We spoke without thinking and hurt someone. We treated the gifts and greetings and meals as chores, leaving out the most important ingredient, caring. We are truly sorry. Please forgive us and accept our worship. Amid the bright colors that surround us this season, the red, the green, the gold, send the light of your sun, so all that is good may be revealed more clearly, and all that is wrong may be exposed and changed. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, who lived and died for our sins, and who lives with you now and forever. We now pray as he taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, I invite you to listen and or join in singing the carol, O Come All Ye Faithful. Reverend Carolyn Winfrey Gillette has written another new hymn, this one for Advent and Christmas during the pandemic. It is entitled, O God, We Long for Better Days. She writes these words as introduction. This weekend I finished a new hymn with gratitude for the joy found in several traditional carols. The joy of God's love that sustains us both when we are at home and when we are with the people of God in community. I wrote this hymn remembering those who are worshiping at home, whether their church is doing only online worship or a combination of in-person and streaming worship. Phil Hart, a singer and songwriter, posted a beautiful recording of this hymn on YouTube. Let's listen to it now in a spirit of prayer. Can you find the six Christmas carol titles mentioned in this new hymn?
O God, we long for better days when we can be together to celebrate your love and grace in Jesus Christ our Savior. We long for silent night in crowded pews by candlelight. May we who stay at home now find your Christmas blessing. We long to come and deck the halls this year like many others. Yet all around we hear the calls of countless hurting neighbors. This year in quiet ways we'll pray and serve and fill our days. May we who stay at home now find your Christmas blessing. We'll still with Christian friends rejoice by phone or by our Zooming. We'll ponder here what child is this and seek a rose e'er blooming. We'll love and serve and give. We'll live as Christ taught us to live. May we who stay at home now find your Christmas blessing. We long to feast and celebrate with family, friends, and neighbors. Yet this can be our gift to wait until the times are better. Still you give us joy, a love that death cannot destroy. May we who stay at home now find your Christmas blessing.
There are two scripture passages I will be reading today. The first comes from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The second scripture passage comes from the Gospel according to John. Very familiar words for many of us. It's chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Please pray with me. Holy God, we praise and glorify you. We rejoice in all the ways you provide for us and sustain us. Open our hearts and minds to your word and fill us with your spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. By the end of this week, most of us will have exchanged gifts with loved ones, ripped off festive wrapping paper, oohed and awed over each other's presents, and then moved on to the final preparations for Christmas dinner. If your experience is anything like mine, we spend a larger amount of time getting ready for Christmas than really celebrating the event. At times, we become so focused on doing the right thing, purchasing the correct gift, and saying the appropriate words that we lose sight of what Christmas is all about. Several years ago, a December issue of Reader's Digest included an article in which a mother told about her 11-year-old son who was going to play the role of Joseph in the Sunday School Christmas program. As they were discussing his costume, she suggested that he wear sandals on his feet. However, he insisted on wearing his cowboy boots. When she said that it was unlikely that Joseph wore Western-style boots, her son replied, "Yes, but he didn't have braces on his teeth either." The author reported that her son wore the boots in the program. Many of us find ourselves so wrapped up in preparing for Christmas that we get turned around. We stand in long lines. We drive on congested streets. We search for the elusively empty parking space. We fight over the last item on a store shelf. We spend more money than we should. And we acknowledge people whom we ignore the rest of the year. What does this have to do with the message of the star? I'm afraid many of us get it turned around in our preparations for Christmas. And the star, S-T-A-R, becomes rats, R-A-T-S. Christmas is not an easy time of the year. There is a great deal of frustration, disappointment, and stress connected with the holiday season. We cannot dismiss this lightly when we realize that those who are already hurting and grieving are prone to real hopelessness when they see everyone else happily celebrating the holiday. Christmas as the assurance of hope and joy, a star to guide us, a savior to make us whole, seems light years away. For some who have lost a loved one, this assurance of the star is turned around, and it seems that our hopes are built up at this time of year, only to be dashed. Rats is almost too mild an adjective for our disappointment. Is it possible, however, that Christmas has always taken place in a world that has lost its way, gotten important things backwards? The birth of the Savior happened in a darkened world of evil kings, no place to stay for those in need. Yet none of this darkness, coldness, and loneliness could banish that star from the sky. Again on this Christmas Sunday, it is hope shining like a star that can turn our world around if we can but look up and believe the message of the star. It is difficult to always believe in the message of the star, for we live in a world where grief is a reality. The poet Tennyson once wrote, "With such compelling cause to grieve, how dare we keep our Christmas Eve?" Grief is a response to loss. Can we deny the losses we've experienced this past year? To deny is not the answer. The prophet Isaiah reminds us that those who dwell in darkness shall see a great light. Not even the gloom that hangs over our losses can expel the light. What are you grieving? Have you lost the person who always seemed so close? A job that was your security? Your zeal for the Christian life? Or the worship of God? What is your loss? It is not wrong to grieve, but it is not for Christians to grieve, as the Bible says, without hope. Our hope is in the Lord. He is the one who turns around our hopelessness. A man lost his business and his family, but in his loss he found himself and the Lord. Together they built a new business. As the recovering alcoholic, he named his new real estate business Rebos, R-E-B-O-S. That's sober, S-O-B-E-R, spelled backward. A reminder that Christ had turned his life around, given hope in the midst of loss. Another aspect of Christmas we have gotten backward is the holding of a grudge. We really could pray in all sincerity, "Forgive us our Christmases, for as we forgive those who Christmas against us." We have been Christmased against sometimes. This should be a time of year marked for forgiveness. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Instead of allowing the sins of life to be taken away, we remember. If we are willing to allow Christ to come into our lives, then Christ can turn us around. By admitting our resentments, we can allow Christ to forgive that which we cannot forgive on our own. We cannot talk of aspects of Christmas that we have gotten backward without mentioning greed. In a Peanuts comic strip, Linus is expounding about Christmas to Sally. He goes on and on about the true meaning of Caesar's census, the inn, and Bethlehem. Obviously fascinated by all of this, he asks Sally, "What do you think?" And she responds, "I think if I don't get everything I want for Christmas this year, I'm going to die." Isn't that the great irony? In the season set aside to celebrate God's gifts, we end up placing emphasis on getting. I read once of a family who every year put up big wooden letters that spelled Noel, N-O-E-L, on their roof as a lighted Christmas greeting. One year, they got it backward, and it spelled Leon, L-E-O-N. There are many traditions about the origin of the word Noel. One of the traditions says that in medieval England, it was common to abbreviate a common phrase into one word in order to save time. For example, the phrase God be with you gradually became goodbye. During the Christmas season, our ancestors cried out a greeting to one another as they passed in the streets. Now all is well, they shouted, referring to the event of God sending his son. The theory goes that with time, the phrase was contracted into one word, Noel. Let's not get Christmas backward. Let's not turn our Noel into Leon. Christ was born in darkness. Now all is well. When we stop and realize all that we have received, we become quite humble. A woman was on her way to visit a missionary church in Ghana. She traveled many hours over potholed roads, and the jeep that carried her broke down 37 times. In a village several miles from the church, she saw a line of people nearly 3 blocks long. "What are they waiting for?" she asked the driver. "Kerosene," he replied. "It's very scarce." Later, after a strenuous mountain climb, the woman arrived at the place where she would be staying. She was given a warm welcome, then led up a narrow, winding stairway to her room. The glow of a kerosene lamp hanging on the wall kept her from stumbling in the dark passageway. She remembered the strenuous climb and the long line back in the village, and suddenly she knew the lamp, hung there for her comfort and safety, had been placed there by one of the tired, needy villagers at a great cost and sacrifice. That kerosene lamp, our Advent candles, the star in the sky, remind us of God's gift of hope and promise. As we prepare to celebrate Christmas this week, let's not focus on what we can get, but on what we can give. Perhaps we will discover the one gift truly worth giving is the gift of ourselves. Our greed is turned into giving when we come to realize God has turned it all around once and for all. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. This truth is depicted well in the following story. A man had been asked by his wife to attend the Christmas Eve service in town. He declined, saying that because he didn't believe in God, he would be a hypocrite if he went. So he stayed near the fire on that blustery, stormy night. His solitude was interrupted when he heard 3 distinct thuds coming from the living room. It soon became apparent that 3 small birds, dazed by the storm, perhaps attracted by the lights of the house, had crashed into the picture window. The man threw on a coat and rushed outside to help the birds, but they would not trust him. Each time he would get close, they would hop, not able to fly, and flutter just beyond his grasp. He was only trying to help, to save them from the freezing cold. Breadcrumbs did not lure them into the haven of the warm barn. All his attempts to help were to no avail. Finally, in an exasperated tone, he said, "If I could only become one of them, then I could show them the way." In that very instant, he said these words. The church bells rang in the distance, announcing midnight. It was Christmas Day. God so loved us, he came to live with us, to become like us in the person of his Son, Jesus, who taught us and showed us the way. Christ died for us so that a way would be opened. Here is the only hope for the world to be turned around, for your life and mine to be turned around. Christ has the power to turn our rats into a star. It is the power and the message of Christmas. Merry Christmas. Let's pray together. God, you rise with the sun. You shine like the moon and stars. Your voice is stronger than the clamor of nations and even the roaring of seas. During this holy season, we look once again for signs of your coming, for the coming of light, even in the midst of darkness, for the onset of hope, even when we see despair. How often we miss your attempts to get our attention. Our hearts become heavy, distracted by schedules and obligations, commitments to loved ones and worries for our world. Mundane details preoccupy us. We look for paths of escape from our world rather than signs of your love at work. Our attention grows fuzzy. Our minds grow numb. In these remaining days of Advent, attention-grabbing God, wake us up. In the drama of your creation, shake us from our everyday stupor. Flash your cosmic signs of arrival. Pull us closer to those who eagerly wait and watch for Christ's coming. As we stand alert together, like those who strained a glimpse of passing comet, or those who wait longingly for the incoming ship, may we share anticipation and excitement, knowing you come to change our world forever. We ask this all in the name of Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I invite you to now listen to or join in singing the carol, The First Noel.
Thank you.
our benediction today, I'm using words from the Reverend John Wallace Suter, Jr., who was dean of the Washington Cathedral back in the 1940s. So let us pray. Send the light of your Son, O God, into the darkness of this troubled world. Let the star of your hope touch the minds of all people with the bright beams of mercy and truth. And so direct our steps that we may always walk in the way revealed to us, as the shepherds of Bethlehem walked with joy to the manger where he dwelt, who now and ever reigns in our hearts, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.